Bible, 1 John chapter 2. Actually, we're going to rewind back to the end of chapter 1. End of chapter 1, which I preached on, half of chapter 1, preached on last week, because I kind of wanted to give a little context for what we're going to be talking about today. We are going to be talking about sin today. And some of you are going, oh, wow, I was hoping we were going to get the blessing sermon today. Well, no, you have lucked out. You have come on Sin Sunday. So we are going to take a look at that. I'll read the end of chapter 1 and get into where we're going to spend our time in chapter 2 today. So if you are in 1 John chapter 1, would you say amen?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and start reading at verse 5. This is the message that we have heard from him. We're talking about Jesus. We have heard from Jesus, and we declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Amen? Amen? Young people, yeah, can I get a witness from the youth?
Yeah.
See, look at that. Man, he's just taking that whole youth thing right to his head. 46 years old, young. Yes. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's good news. Amen?
Amen?
If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. That's just background. This is what we're going to be talking about today. My dear children, these people were dear to John. John is writing to this letter to people that he knows. He says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is, you know, he's using that liar word a lot. We got a whole lot of lying going on. John had a whole lot of lying going on in this church back 2,000 years ago. He is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, there's that term again. Dear friends, I'm not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded him. Lord, we come to you this morning talking about sin, talking about light, talking about darkness, talking about lying. And Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, to grab onto a little bit of truth, to grab onto guidance and direction, Lord, that we might find, Lord. We might find that which would guide us through this life and take us into the life beyond, Lord. We grab onto something that is more than just a Sunday morning situation, Lord, that is more than just some little bit of excitement, Lord, that we get as we come together, Lord, or find where we find it. But we look for something that will have an impact day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute. And give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, Joe and Josh. Where's Josh? Josh is working.
He's with the elementary school.
There, that's very good. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
We got young people work singing, young people teaching. Well, Joe and Josh were working at our house on Friday. And they were bondoing a wonderful 1963 Super 88 Oldsmobile that Joe has had for a while. We have had it for a while. In fact, we bought it last year. And this wonderful vehicle, how many of you have seen that wonderful vehicle? Yes, it is parked on our front yard. And it has been parked there for about a year now. In the spring. Well, we had another car that was parked there last year. It was actually the Karmann Ghia, which is in the garage now. And I mention this because we had, had is the operative word there, had a nice front yard, nice grass. And when I put the Karmann Ghia up there, I stopped watering the grass because I didn't want to water the Karmann Ghia. And then when I put the Super 88, there's enough rust on that. We didn't need to put any more rust on that. And the grass was doing okay for a while. But I began to see it die off, and I actually replanted some, and that's where the Karmann Ghia sat. And but I did notice that there was bare patches. And I'm thinking, I got to do something with that. And then I noticed some weeds coming in. And man, I just got to, you know, and just, you know, sometimes you just don't get to what you need to get to. Yeah. Anybody? Am I talking to anybody? Oh, yeah. Just me? Yeah. And so I come home on Friday, and there's Joe and Josh working away, putting Bondo on this car and sanding. And Joe comes to me and says, "Dad," and this is the word he used. He goes, "There is devil stickers in the grass." That's the word, right? Devil stickers. Because he likes to work in Bondo and paint with no shoes on. And so he's walking around, and he goes, Dad, these are bad. Sometimes my lawn is a picture of our lives. Because, you get a witness on that, Larry? There we go. Come on now. And we can see, oh, there's some stuff that's coming up there. It's not looking too good. I need to put a little effort over there, and I'll get to it later. And sometimes we just don't get to it. And it'll end up kind of choking out the light in our lives. We're in this series called Living in the Light. And sometimes that darkness will just kind of creep in and just kind of start overgrowing all that light. And pretty soon it just gets a little bit dim. See, I'm standing in the light. You guys are out there. It's dim. We don't want you guys to get distracted out there. But sometimes our lives, we just kind of live. And it's just a little bit dim. John is writing this letter to some people that are really, really, really putting forth an effort into being in the light and making the transformations and doing the work that is required to follow the Lord. Amen? He says, pick up my cross daily and follow me. Amen? That's hard work. Amen? And so John, we talked about this last week, these people are coming against the church. Actually, they were in the church and had left the church, and they got this brand new knowledge, this super secret heavenly knowledge that comes from heaven, and it just kind of, they're kind of putting away all that effort, saying, oh, you don't got to try so hard, because how you really find your victory is through this secret knowledge from heaven. Now, John is battling that, and that secret knowledge from heaven, it's a popular thing. Maybe you remember the 90s, right? With this, the New Age and transcendental meditation, you know, and just kind of lining up on heaven and just have this experience of God, right? You know, the New Age, and realistically, it wasn't all that new. If you go back another 30 years, hey, we had all these people there trying to line up. Right? And sometimes they'd use a little chemical enhancement to line them up. And what they were looking for was an experience. Right? I want to have this experience with heaven. I want to have this experience with God. And John's saying it's about a whole lot more than an experience. It's about taking what you know about the Lord and putting it in gear. Having it make an impact on your day-to-day decisions. See, you can come to church, and there's churches, there's these kind of people, you know, and these kind of people, you know, and they show up and they want to have an experience. And when they have that experience, they're done until they come back for the next experience. But John's saying, no, it's not at all about that. Knowing Jesus will make a change in your life. Amen. Title today's message is A Change That You Can See. I was riding with Richard today on the way to church. I said, hey, what's the biggest change that you see in you? And he's going, I don't know. And I started going through, I can see this, and I can see this, and I can see this. And he started coming up with some stuff. What do people see different in you because you know the Lord? What change is God working on you today? Because if you know Jesus, there should be a change. A change that you can see. Amen? All right, let's roll with this. Sin is a problem. All right, let me try that again. Sin is a problem. Amen. Thank you for that. Yes, I want to get a little agreement on that. My dear children, he says, this is like, and John is old, man. This is like the 90s. He is reading, writing the 85 to 90. So he's an old man. Christ crucified and raised 60 years before. So he's old, right? My dear children, you know, he's coming to these people that he's raising up in the faith. I write this to you so that you will not sin. And we have got to stay away from sin. Amen. Now, the reason I read to you those other verses out of chapter 1 is because, and we talked about this last week, is that sin, everybody's got some. You're sitting here today, you have got some. And Paul or John talks about, hey, if you realize you've got sin, you confess that sin, Jesus will come and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And as he's talking about that, you can start thinking, hey, wow, you know, it's kind of like getting a car wash. You know, get a little bit dirty, just a couple dollars, a few quarters, and I am good. John says, no. Let's not, don't misunderstand me. He says, I'm writing this to you. I don't want you to sin. Sin is your enemy. Sin will distance you from God. And you think, oh, a little bit. It's like like my yard, you know, just get to that. No. Sin is your enemy. Sin will distance you from God. And these guys that were coming against John, they had come up with this way to rationalize sin. Oh, it's not so bad. They had this, rewind last week, they had this dualism. They figured that you're made up of two components, the fleshly component and the spiritual component. The spiritual component was good. And because the spiritual component really couldn't be touched by the fleshly component, you can do anything you want with your body. That's kind of cool in church. See, I could say, today, instead of sin is a problem, I say sin is no problem. You want to go out to the XXX bookstore, that's okay. Because your body never touches your spirit. You got a couple girlfriends, that's okay. Bring them to church. It's okay. This is the message. That, and you can see that you could grow a church that way. And we got barbecue afterward. George and Dave are going to be cooking up barbecues. Just if we offered beers, too. Man, we'd have half the neighborhood here. We could grow a church. That's what these guys were doing. In fact, they were coming back to the church with this message, with this lie. And that is why John is using that lie word all the time. He says, no. Sin is an issue. Don't get the wrong idea. Sin is not okay. Sin and the life of God are irreconcilable. People get divorces today because they have irreconcilable differences. Just can't work it out. Well, you're not going to be able to work out with the Lord when you are choosing to sin. Just can't work it out. Sin is the power of darkness. It will lure you in. And you will be distanced from the Lord. He says, I write this so you will not sin. And what he is saying is, I need you to make an effort. I need you to work at it. Let's see some improvement. Because if you know Jesus, there will be a change. Amen? All right, let's keep going. But if anybody does sin, so again, he's coming back. Hey, you know, you're working toward the light, but you got that darkness going to be yanking on you. If anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. How many people like that part? You like that part, Tommy? That Jesus speaks in your defense. Amen? Amen. This week, perhaps, there was a conversation in heaven about you. Dad, we got to talk about Tommy. Because when he's an advocate, right? He's like an attorney. It's like a courtroom. We got a problem. See, we want to have an advocate, but we don't want to trace it all the way back to our problem. See, Jesus is advocating for us because we have a problem, and that problem is what? Sin. Oh, yeah. We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Why? Because we have a problem called sin, right? Jesus Christ, the righteous one, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. God deals with sin. So often we just want to, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's an issue. Knowing God, knowing Jesus is more than just head knowledge. It requires a change in our behavior. Knowing Jesus will or should impact your morality. Knowing Jesus should impact the choices that you make today. So how'd you do last week? How many conversations did Jesus have with the Father about you last week? How much advocacy did you need last week? Let's talk about Aaron Bugs. Had a problem on Tuesday morning. Got an advocate. Yay! Oh, yeah, it's because I messed up. I don't like that part. I don't like to be told that I did wrong. See, knowing God, if you know Jesus, there should be a change that you can see. It's more than coming to a church of, you know, I feel good. Or just say, showed up, did my hour. Better not go long. I don't know about this worship after service stuff. Might start singing a long time. Just get the barbecue, come on. You know, Jesus is talking about having a transformed life, and it's not just a little magical little ba-ching. You know, just the Holy Spirit just comes on and goes, here you go. Sprinkle, 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 sprinkle. No, man. You come here today, I tell you about sin, and today you go work on it. It's like our devil stickers, man. We're going to get rid of them. We got to go work on them. Amen? It's like, oh, Lord, come bring fertilizer. Yeah, I'll bring it, but you got to spread it. So what are you spreading in your life? Light or darkness? That's what John is talking about. These guys are lying to you. They are pouring poison into your life, and you're acting like they're doing you a favor. And how many people are pouring poison into your life, and you act like they're doing you a favor? He says, if you know me, Jesus says, if you know me, you're going to obey my commands. How much time are you spending on Jesus' commands? Where is that on your priority list? Hey, I got to get paid. Hey, I got to make some money. Hey, I got to go do this. I got to go play this. I got to keep up with the Chargers. Where's God on your priority list? Hallelujah. You keep him one. You work on it. You know what? There'll be a great meeting coming up. Amen? Obedience is not a requirement for knowing God. It's a characteristic of knowing God. When you know Jesus, when you really know Jesus, when you come to accept him and follow him and be guided by him, the characteristic, a new characteristic you're going to have is obedience. And you're not going to... You're not going to fight it. You're going to be, ah, I don't want to do those weeds. I got other stuff to do. God points something out. We're on it. Obedience. It's a characteristic of the transformed life, and as we are transformed, become more like Jesus. These guys are saying, man, you got to be like that. They're lying. They're lying to you, and they're lying to themselves. All right. Oh, I hit the wrong thing. Yeah, here we go. I jumped ahead, didn't I? Yeah, there we go. I'm sorry. God deals with sin. But if anybody does, I'm in the right place. Advocate. Here we go. This is the picture. Because some people think that our advocate, like our attorney, like a courtroom in heaven, be thinking, oh, he's not so bad. Larry, he's a good guy. Dad, what he did on Thursday, that wasn't so bad. And we can think that Jesus is up there repping for us, that he is on our side, that he's going to go to battle for us, and he is going to battle against the Father in our behalf. But that's not what our advocate does, because we must remember that Jesus' response to sin, your sin and my sin and the world's sin, was to go to the cross. And that they laughed at him as he hung on the cross. And they mocked him. And they spit upon him. And his sentiment for your sin was such that he stayed on that cross to pay for that sin. And so as he is our advocate, he carries our case to the Father with nail-pierced hands. So don't get the feeling that Jesus is going to kind of try to sweep your sin under the carpet. No, what Jesus does with your sin is pays for it. And John is saying, hey, don't misunderstand me. I'm writing this so that you won't sin. Because when you sin, Jesus makes a fresh payment. Writer of Hebrews says that when we sin, we put him right back up on the cross all over again. You know, my wife, you know, she loves a clean house. And the last thing she does when she cleans that house is she vacuums. You ladies like that, right? So when you vacuum, you know, it's kind of like all the carpet's going one way. You know, and it's like, oh, it just looks so nice. You know, she'll be working away. And then she'll put the vacuum away and she'll jump in the shower. For a day's hard labor. And I'll come in, I got a couple bags of tools, and I'll drop them in my work area, and I'll kick my shoes off and kick them over there underneath the TV and sit down there. And she's in the shower scrubbing up. And Joe will come in, you know, and Joe's got all his football pads and all that stuff. And he'll come in Joe just lives right there in the walkway. You know, he hadn't been trained on where to put his stuff like me. You know, I kind of put him on the side, but Joe just puts him right in the walkway. And then Leanne comes in, she got a guitar, she got a laptop, she got a phone, man, she got phone plugs all over the place. And Lisa comes out looking for the vacuumed carpet. She can't even see the carpet. There's so much crud all over our house. And that's what sometimes our lives look like. That Jesus died on the cross to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that we're making choices day by day that just dirty it right up again. John says, I'm writing this so that you won't sin. Don't sin. Put an effort into it. Because if you know Jesus, there should be a change. Amen? All right. Sorry I got tripped up on that. All right, building on the knowledge of the Lord, point two. If you know him, act like it. Can I get a witness on that? If you know him, act like it. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is, again, lying. And the truth is not in him, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. More than just head knowledge. Put it in gear. Obedience. transformed life, changed life. Continue reading. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I'm writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you because the darkness is passing and true life, true light, is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother. See, the people around you can tell. People around you can tell if you know the Lord. Why? Because there'll be a change. There'll be a change in how you treat them. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. That's a nice thing, amen? Amen? Whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. You can tell if you're in the light by the way you treat the people around you. Right. Joe could have been ordering Josh, you work on that side of the car where all them devil stickers are. I'll be over here where there's still a little bit of grass. God has a heart for people, but he just told, John just wrote, that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. That's how much he cares. Even those who renounce him, he paid for their sins. That payment has to be received. I hope you have received the payment of Christ's sacrifice for your sins by saying, Lord, I got to have some help. I am so messed up. I got stickers all around. I can't walk anywhere. Lord, I have failed. That happens in your life. You have received him. There should be a marked difference in how you treat people. That's what Richard and I talked about. You know what? I'm not fighting so much anymore. Right. Hey, sometimes it'll take a while to kick in. Hey, you come to know Jesus? There should be a change, even a little bit, day by day, gets better. Amen? Amen. God is about more than just the experience in a minute church service. God wants you to put it in gear to the very people that are around you. Say, but they're so hard. Well, guess what? You get used to these, he's going to bring you harder ones. These are just the trainers for the hard ones that are coming down the road. Why? Because he uses them to train you to lean on him. He says it gets really tough. Think of me on the cross. They spit on me, laughed at me, mocked me. When it gets that hard, you come and talk to me. It hasn't got to me to be that hard for me yet. And all these opponents of John are saying, you don't have to do that. They didn't even believe that Jesus came in the flesh. He didn't come in the flesh. He didn't have to suffer. He didn't have to do any of that stuff. John's struggling. He's got these people that are working hard. His dear children trying to do all that they can to be right, to make the good choices. Some of you, I know that you are working so hard, making good choices and better choices and getting better and better and better. Amen? Amen? Feels good, doesn't it? Amen. You look back 6 months ago, man, I was such a loser back then. God, you are doing a good work in me. And so John is kind of sitting in the middle of this thing. He's got his dear children over here working hard, you know, a little bit messed up. Jesus is an advocate for you, and keep on working. And then he's got these over here. I don't have to try that. And these over here are talking to these over here. And John's saying, don't buy the lie. These people are blind. You can see how they treat one another. There's some mean people out there, amen? Yes. Amen? Treat each other bad. Take advantage of one another. They'll treat you bad. Can I get a witness on that? Man, you know what? I used to be a bad person. I used to treat people bad just for the fun of it. And you know what? I was blind. They're living a lie, and they're not even trying at all. Just looking for kicks. And they're pulling John's people out into the lie. My question for you this morning is, which one are you? How much in the light are you, or how much in the darkness are you? Because we got both kinds here. I can relate. We got those people that are trying hard. Jesus says, hey, there's some people around you, love on them. Amen? People in need, help them out. Like Sharon Bryant. Bible says that religion that God accepts as pure and faultless is helping widows and orphans in their distress. Widow lady, blind lady, handicapped lady, had to move. Several, I think 12 people came and helped her move. How many of you were here helped her move that day? You guys feel good afterward? Feels good, doesn't it? Now, there are some people, that's like the A group, man. It's like, yeah, man, we got people in need. We got people that are helping. We're feeling good about that. And then there's the B group that are just like, they're just kind of sowing the lie. And some of them would come in here and they feel that it is their ministry to give you the opportunity to feel good by blessing them. This, my wife knows what I'm talking about. They'll come in here and they'll say, oh, I need this, I need that. I saw, I kid you not, I mean, I was working on this sermon the last several days, and I saw a guy, and if I mentioned his name, Mike would know who he is, because Mike is still looking for money from that guy. And I realized when this guy left the church, many people, he owed many people money. Oh, you know, huh? All right. Straight up. This is like a little side advertisement. If anybody asks you for money in this church, send them to me. Okay? I mean, I'll tell them no. I won't even feel bad about it. I say that because so often the people that come, because I know most all of your situations. And people will come and ask me for money, and I'll say, you know what? I got a church full of people who need money, and I know them. I'm going to give them money before I give you money because I don't even know who you are. But what really bums me out is when I find that half of you have loaned money to somebody and then they leave. That breaks my heart. Now, we might not give them money, but we got food. We got all kinds of opportunities. We got real assistance. But if they're just coming to you for $5 and you for $5 and you for $5 and you for $5, they're never going to get help. They're never going to get anything. Are you tracking with me? So there was 3 people in the church I had to ask to leave in the last week. Not all of them associated with this, but for various issues. Please, if anybody comes and asks you for money, send them to me. Because if they need help, we can try to get whatever help we can. And they won't be like this group over here just trying to take advantage of the church. Amen. Amen? Amen? If you have a problem with that, please come and talk to me afterward. If you need money, please only talk to me afterward. Okay. You like that, huh? Lined up on the Lord. Verse 15, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Opposites do not attract. Opposites do not attract. We're talking about sin. We're talking about darkness. We're talking about evil and good. And what we got is we got the two opposite ends of the spectrum. And what is happening is that these liars that John is dealing with are saying, it's okay, you can have both. And that's the lie. You can have good, or you can have evil, and some of you try and stand right in the middle and get a little bit of nothing. And your lives will be dim, and you won't have any. I'll ask you, so what's different about you? And you'll say, nothing. Why? Because you've been standing in the middle, trying to get a little bit of both. The Lord and the world, you can't have both. You get one or you get the other. The world is in the grip of the devil. Closer you get to the world, the closer you get to the devil stickers. Can't have both. And that's what John's talking about. So my question for you today is, how are you doing in your walk with the Lord? Is there a change? Is there a good change? Some of you be in here and you be moving toward the evil side. They were. And they were feeling good about it. Showing up for all the wrong reasons. Where's your focus? Where is your affection? What do you love? Simpler question. What movies are you seeing? What websites are you spending your time on? Bigger question. Would you take my wife to go see the movies that you're seeing? Because she don't go to a lot of movies. Because if you wouldn't take my wife, you definitely wouldn't take Jesus. And maybe Jesus is having a meeting with the Father this week over the movies that you were watching. The love of the world entices by what is forbidden. And it will pull you away from the life of the Lord. God's plan is entirely different. Everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. John gives us a list here, and he's talking about these people that are lying. He says that they are captured by the cravings of the sinful man. And you read it in the King James, says the desires of the flesh. We talk about these desires. I got some pictures for you. Talk about materialism. And, you know, is that the Donald Trump's wife? I don't know. Anyway, I thought, man, I think that's Donald Trump's wife. The love of things. And selfishness. See that picture, man? It looks like, I don't know, two kids and one kid's got both sodas. That's selfish. Right? And he talks about that man who was captured by his evil desires. Gotta have cash. Gotta get paid. Next thing he talks about is nothing, I guess. No. The lust of the eyes. Now I looked for about 10 seconds for some pictures that dealt with the lust of the eyes on a Google search. And the results were so foul that I couldn't even look at them. But the world is governed by the desires of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And it speaks of, I want that. Like the Ferrari. Oh, I want that. You know, the women on the beer commercial. Oh, I want that. And the most interesting man in the world, you know. I want to be that guy. You know, there is that picture and that going after it, that greed. And then it talks about the pride and the arrogance that comes once they get it. Look what I got. I am the most interesting man in the world. Now, you probably haven't heard that ad, Larry. Okay. John is saying, take all that stuff and push it back. Work on it, because if you don't, all that stuff of the world become crouching in upon you, and you will not have any light anymore. And you will be governed by darkness. I thought you could enjoy this. I can only please one person today. Today I choose me. That is the message of the world. That is the truth of the world. And that is what John is fighting against. He's saying, don't buy this lie. If you know Jesus, there will be a change. If you know Jesus, it will impact your daily life. It will impact your choices. It will impact everything. So how you doing? Is this you? I hope it's not. Because there are some of you that are in here that are working so hard. And you come in here and your yard is looking good. You know, maybe you just put some seed down. Maybe you just put some mulch. Maybe you just planted some flowers on the side. And your life, there's change. And you are in this side over here, and John calls you his beloved. And he says, I see your effort. I see your work. Continue on, my child. It is hard, but what you work for is an eternal reward that will never pass away. Maybe you come in here today and your life more resembles my yard. Maybe 6 months ago, you know, I'd be seeing, man, there's some bare patches in there. And you know, where you got some bare patches in your life, there is a good chance something bad's going to roll in. You rolling with me here? Maybe that's where you are today, that you see some gaps in what is going on around you, and you are thinking, I should really get on that. John's saying, get on it. Jesus saying, you know me. I've been talking to Dad about you every day. It's not good. Remember, he carries your case with nail-pierced hands. That as you sin again and again, that you, writer of Hebrews says, you put him right back up on the cross again. And that this morning he would come to you and he'd say, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. Don't sin. Don't sin. Maybe today you've got to make a change. Richard, you want to give me a little something back here? Maybe today the Lord is speaking right to your heart and said, yeah, I've been seeing those bare patches in your life. I've been seeing what has been creeping in. Blank that out when you get to it there, bro. If he changes something. Oh, did I turn it off? No. Anyway, blank that out, bro. He's coming to you this morning. He's saying, this is like three guitars getting messed up. There are some issues that need to be addressed. And by his Holy Spirit, he's been, you know, it's been 6 months I've been telling you about this. And today we're talking about sin. Today we're talking about change, because if you know Jesus, there should be a change. And he's saying right now, he said, I've been looking for a little bit more. I've been looking for a little bit more effort. And you've been rolling with the flow, and you've just been having fun. You've been playing tennis, playing golf, going to movies, going to this, going to that. I'm down on your priority list, child. Get a little dim. Get a little dark. Time to make a change. Maybe you come in here today and he's been having that discussion with you for 6 months, and now you got devil stickers all over the place. You're walking around and you can't even move anymore, man. I mean, you got, I can't, Lord, I can't even move. I have neglected. I have bought the lie for so long. I am paralyzed in my life, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you bring me here this morning, Lord, that you are my advocate, Lord, that you bring my case before the Father with nail-pierced hands. Lord, I need nail-pierced hands this morning, Lord. I need forgiveness in my life, Lord. As we read earlier, I'm going to confess my sins, Lord. I need to be purified of all unrighteousness, Lord. I need a brand new start this morning. And with nobody looking around, but you are here this morning, and maybe you just came because of the youth worship team. The Lord says this morning, I finally got your attention. We are talking about sin. and you got some, and you now are becoming aware of that fact, then I need you to ask me for forgiveness this morning. I need you to come and ask me to make a change in your life. I need you to come and ask me for more than just an experience on a Sunday morning. I need you to come and ask me, my dear child, to come and have an impact in your life on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and on. You're coming here in this morning and the Lord is just, He is just hanging on you like a coat. He's saying, my child, this is for you. This message of sin is for you, and it is time to make a change. Nobody looking around, but God just speaking to you, and you'd say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I am your child, and I'm so messed up. I have bought the lie. I've been doing bad stuff that displeases you. And this morning, Lord, I am ready, Lord, to lay it down, to be transformed in my life, to follow you, Lord, but to be cleansed by you, 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 but to be cleansed by you.